We're reading in the book Kabbalah for the Student on page 346 in the article Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sfirot on item 82. You are welcome to download the article from the website and ask questions during the lesson. Questions can be asked at kab.tv. Again, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sfirot, item 82.
So, we said that our entire path is called the path of love. And until we reach complete love, which is the final correction, we reach it through four phases. These four phases, it's the same Yudkei Vavkei, the same pattern or mold according to which the light has imprinted into the matter of the will to receive. And then every time we develop through these four phases, where the fifth phase is the final phase, and that's how we develop. So we have the four phases through which we develop until we reach the end. And we talked about it, we studied this, and then what did he say on item 82?
Hence, every person must experience that transit period of concealment of the face. When he completes it, he is rewarded with open providence, meaning the revelation of the face.
Meaning that there is concealment within concealment, then revelation, then the providence of reward and punishment, the eternal love.
And before he is rewarded with revelation of the face, and although he sees the posterior side, he cannot refrain from ever committing a sin. Not only is he unable to keep all 613 mitzvot, or commandments, since love does not come by coercion and compulsion, but one is not complete even in the 612 mitzvot, or commandments, since even his fear is not fixed as it should be. This is the meaning of the Torah being 611 in Gematria, any gematria being the posterior side, that one cannot properly observe even 612 mitzvot. This is the meaning of, he will not always contend. In the end, one will be awarded the revelation of the face.
Meaning, we advance through 611 actions until we reach complete fear, and then we come to complete love. That's the 611, then 612, and then 613. You needn't think that this number is quantitative. It's qualitative. It's the more we advance qualitatively toward the revelation of the Creator, because each and every step, it's Avaya or Ten Sfirot, it all depends on the preciseness of the will to receive, the depth of the will to receive, which we succeed in using in order to be like the light. Yes? If there are any questions, go ahead. And of course, before that, there's the period of the concealment of the face. There has to be double concealment, single concealment, we're a part of it. And accordingly, we need to advance.
What does this, who does this qualitative advancement depend on? On the person, on the group? who does this qualitative development depend on?
It doesn't matter. The advancement is always qualitative, not quantitative. Now that we're advancing as well, we're not advancing quantitatively, but in an ever greater quality, preciser, deeper, down to greater details and perception, so on. Spiritual world, it's qualitative, not quantitative. To begin with, it says that there's only one pattern, which is the Havaya. And all the spiritual worlds are merely a deeper perception of this Havaya. Meaning, it's not counted in terms of qualitative or quantitative. It's always qualitative, a deeper Havaya.
What helps or urges a person to get through this stage in an optimal way?
Just getting an impression from the group. You have no other place to get the right impression from.
Chezi from Be'er Sheva is asking, he writes here that there is no love that doesn't come by coercion and compulsion, meaning that we always coerce upon ourselves or compel upon ourselves all kinds of thoughts in order to advance.
We're playing, right? A quality can't come coercively. I can't love someone unless it is born in me due to some reason, external. Internal reason doesn't matter, but it's not that I can decide on it. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, this is when it speaks about the attitude towards someone or something, but when I play it, I can play, and here you have no coercion as well. If you want it, please. But if you want to reach something, you have to acquire its importance. I don't want anything, you don't want anything. Sit down. So what do the parents? My parents tell me, we want you to grow and be a doctor. I don't want to. What do you want? I don't want anything. I want to play in the backyard with the kids. So, they give you different stimulations, movies, books, different stimulations. Maybe they even invite someone who works in that profession to tell you different things, how important, how great it is, how interesting, how special it is to be a doctor. And then I start getting importance from it, and I agree to invest efforts in it. And that's how it is with everything, according to inner. According to inner natural inclinations, that's how it is with everything. Is there anything in life that we advance toward without some kind of... something that will make you get there, something that will stimulate you to get there. Put a person in the forest, leave him there, and see what you get out of him. He'll be worse than the animals. So here I come to a society that gives me an external example of not being a doctor, not being a thief, not being something else, but something specific. It's natural. There's nothing artificial about it. It's natural, and they don't necessitate me to love the friend or the creator, but they play it so to show me that it's something that they respect, that it's worthwhile being a doctor in that society, and it's worthwhile to serve the creator here. Why? Because he's important. There, what's important for you is the doctor. Here, what's important is the creator. Same. We're using the simplest, most natural things. you're not leaving the frameworks of nature. You just use this nature correctly in order to reach the other nation. But all the ways, all the paths, all the everything, I understand that it seems like something here, it's not exactly, but it's according to the laws of nature. It's according to specific discernments and habits that we use in this world. Please, say. We see that everything comes from simple life. Not some philosophization and psychology or whatever.
What does it mean, he will not always contend, as it's written?
Will not for always contend. There's also the numerical value to it. Yeah, lo lanetzach yariv. Yariv is tariag, 613. That he stops at tariag. And then there is a different kind of advancement. These are the two levels of chafetz chesed and love. Correcting the galgal ta'enayim and correcting the achap. But he will not always contend. It means that eventually, after a person exerts himself, the Creator opens. He already has a kli that opens. And starts discovering the Creator. Why? Because he knows how to cover him himself. Now we're advancing toward the Creator in the group, depicting his importance to me, and to the extent to which the Creator chose me his importance, I advance. To the extent to which they don't, I don't. I just, you know, fool myself. Pay attention. It's very important. One depends on the other. You think you've advanced in this past year? Maybe you've advanced in your animalistic mind and heart, but not one step in spirituality. If you did not get the impression about the greatness of the Creator from the group, and this stimulated you, and you worked accordingly. You see how these things rely on one another, how we are interdependent, how a person has to really serve the group. To really sell himself out to the group, just to be impressed by the greatness of the Creator, that maybe it's something that exists in them. But the group, it needn't hide this from him. The group should show it to him. The group has to talk about it. The group has to express it somehow. Not in some cheap way, but for him to really feel that they do want it. That's the Ervut. Otherwise, where will I get the fuel from? I'm impressed just by the group during the transitional phase. Later, the group becomes a network, the structure of the soul. But in the meantime, the external impression for me is something necessary. Maybe finally we'll hear it, but I don't know. The moment you start using it, you're truly advancing from one moment to the next at a pace that, and if you don't hear, you could not hear for 1,000 years. Nothing moves. You become philosophized, you become really smart, you know, the different sources, but that's it. Yeah.
How can a person check whether the action he does as a result of the impression is as a result of the impression or inspiration he got from the society?
How does he know? He knows as a result of having the strength not to forget about the goal, to always be targeted at Israel, the light and the creator are one, to always search for none else besides him behind every action, every revelation, everything and anything that he sees, that he's all the time alert to discover the creator through the group, specifically through the group, and not in any other place, in the relations between the friends, to discover him, and not to search for him. They're between the gematrias, maybe, I don't know, on the one hand, or and what the world says on the other. What?
I wanted to ask, what is this matter of gematria? It says that any gematria is the posterior side, it's written.
It doesn't matter, because it's still like the posterior. It's concealment. Yes, Akoka.
He writes here that each person is compelled to go through the state from this time of concealment, and then he's rewarded with revelation of the face. What is this transit period that everyone is compelled to go through?
It's the period of the concealment of the face that each has to go through. But why is there the period of the concealment of the face? Because you are used to working not on the fuel which you really get from someone or from something, but in your attitude toward the group you created. Look. There is a difference between if you play before me something which is appealing to me and I want to be like you, or I come to you on purpose and you're not pulling me. You're like, suppose, I don't know, you have some kind of private jet. No. I don't feel like it. But I come to you on purpose, and I start taking an interest. What does it mean to have a private jet and how good it is and so on and so forth until I really light up and I work on it for 10 years until I reach one. There's a difference between what the group publicizes through different advertisements about revelations that I don't really need, but they sting my and I get my fuel from that, work and enjoy this and enjoy that and do like this and do like that, or I invest in it on purpose, even though I don't want to. I have like a small stimulation to advance in spirituality, but it's a small stimulation, and it has no direction. I have to come to the group, I have to cancel myself, and specifically because they will sell the greatness of the king to me, will sell it, meaning that I pay by my subjugation and then I get it from them, because usually I have a snotty nose and I don't want to be impressed by them unless it's some kind of an advertisement that comes from the great masses through special craftsmanship that I'm being influenced and so on. Otherwise, I'm not impressed by the environment, by the society, by the group. That's how our great big pride is, even though that we come and we subjugate ourselves. But after some time, I feel myself no less than the others, and in a group of Kabbalists, a person feels himself great. That's how the will to receive starts growing, and then I have to pay. I have to subjugate myself in order to be impressed. And every time that I advance through concealment, I annul myself more and more. I get greater and greater impressions from them about the greatness of the Creator, and so I can advance. So it's not exactly that I'm working on some alien fuel. It's fuel that I'm getting out of the group, as if throw pennies into the gas tank, and I get the infusion. I get the fuel. How? By subjugating myself more and more and more, and I serve them one way or another in order to be impressed by the greatness of the Creator that they have. And this is what I do by way of concealment. This is how I advance with my motor towards revelation. What do I do later? I pay too. But then I pay for the concealment, not for the revelation. When there starts a revelation, I'm afraid of his revelation, because when he'll reveal, I'm afraid that my vessels of reception will start enjoying him and will start pursuing him. It's called that the thief is running at the head of the line, shouting, "Thief." So first of all, I conceal him the way he was concealed before and even more, and then I work in faith above reason, meaning only on bestowal, meaning my fuel, my entire fuel comes from bestowal. Because it's an opposite kind of work there. But this is the work that you have to do now. What's not clear about it? About what's going on now?
About now, where he is paying the society. How does he complement that work and come to open providence and revelation of the face? In what does the reward with open providence become expressed in our work? Or how does the reward with open providence become expressed in our work?
Starting to work according to natural, the natural laws, meaning the laws of nature, that the more I invest myself into the group, pay them in order to get the greatness of the Creator from them, the society becomes accordingly to a gas station, filling station. The pump on gas stations from where you get the filling. It doesn't really depend on them as much as it depends on you. And of course, we also have to work to bestow onto them, give them the importance, play and everything. But if you treat the group correctly, when you come to it, you have to understand that they are in endlessness. The more pennies you throw in, the more fulfillment you get from that tank, which you demand. That's it. What else did you want to ask?
That payment that they need, what is that payment?
To serve them, whatever they need. What do they want from you? They want from you the greatness of the Creator. Tell them that you love and you whatever. Play a bit, not in an exaggerated way, but you know, uplifted spirits, influence them by that, participate in whatever they demand you to do, be on time for the lesson, prepare yourself because you owe them. You can't allow yourself to come the way you come, like you keep on sleeping. You can't allow yourself to disconnect from everything during the lesson because you're a part of it. Your thoughts and your desires, they're participating. And so on. And later they're serving and, you know, keeping this place and all the regular things. Maintenance and so on. Preparing yourself for Yeshivat Chavarim and the workshop and to awaken the friends, to give them fuel. Without that happening, we won't propel. Our car isn't moving. And it's a law. Nothing else will happen. The engine is still.
How can a person not escape the true scrutiny upon which he receives the correct fuel?
If everyone thinks about it and understands that he does not advance, that you're not with a reciprocal awakening, that it is the condition of darvut without which you don't get the Torah. Which is the plan of advancement towards spirituality, then there's nothing to talk about. Only after the Arvut, to be as one man and one heart, toward the goal of love another as thyself. If it's clear that only through the connection between us we discover the worlds and the Creator, then there's no place to run to. This has to be crystal clear. Yes. Okay, so, last time.
There are a few conditions here. Also the mutual awakening, also the feeling that he's adhered to the society. It turns out that according to that, there are a few times during the day that a person advances during the day, meaning that most of the day a person doesn't advance towards the goal, but there's a few times when he makes his efforts that he does.
A person is advancing toward the goal on condition that he's advancing. Depends only on him. I don't see why does it have to be only a few minutes a day. A few moments a day. When?
Yesterday there was a Yeshivat Chavarim, a friends gathering, and there were these conditions that you mentioned.
Where did these conditions come from? What do you mean? I saw half the people here having no idea where they are. I'm telling you seriously, even more. Even though that in total it was pretty well, pretty good, according to our ordinary state, and quality and quantity of participation. But nonetheless, compared to what we need in order to move, we're not moving. We're not, mister. I don't know. Which year that you're impressed by all the different actions. In the meantime, you're impressed as a result of understanding more. Things become clear. I can bring, you know, philosophers, strong-minded people. And in half a year, they'll know all this material. They'll start philosophizing about it. You'll see how smart they are. You'll already think they're in spirituality. Has nothing to do with one another. I'm asking you, did you advance on the fuel which you got from the group? Please tell me. Is that clear to you that that's how you've advanced, or a few moments a day, you do advance? How many times during the day do they remind you about spirituality and you're grateful and you're really as if it's like a breath of fresh air? And then you look at the world through different eyes. How many times a day do you sometimes, did you somehow remember that you have to annul yourself toward them, nullify yourself before them, or that you work on them influencing you that way, reminding you?
Tov. Oren.
Okay. Oren.
Item 83. The first degree of the revelation of the face is the attainment of the providence of reward and punishment in utter clarity. This comes to a person only through his salvation, when one is awarded the opening of eyes in the Holy Torah in wonderful attainment and becomes a flowing spring. In any mitzvah, in any commandment in the Holy Torah that one has already kept of his own choice, one is granted seeing the reward of the mitzvah in it, intended for him in the next world, as well as the great loss in the transgression.
Meaning, one already understands and feels the reward and the punishment. And you think it makes it easier for him? No. On the contrary. Now he needs to work against it. You came to me and I asked you to help me do something, right? Suppose that I'm telling you to help me. Come, let's do something together. And you'll join me. And we'll share the profits. You'll join me. You come to me, not because you want the profits, but in order to participate, help me. You feel some kind of an attitude toward me. Now, suddenly, turns out that the business which I brought you into, it makes $1 billion a year, and you deserve half. So now you're working for $1 billion, or because you want to help me as a friend? Even though you deserve $1 billion. How will you be my friend now? Sell yourself for $1 billion, work for them, and then there'll be a dispute between us and different things, or that we really continue being friends and it's important for us to be together, that we enjoy being together. You know, dollars are dollars. So, now you need a screen. That's why the providence of reward and punishment, it doesn't come to make the path easier. It raises a person further up in very seriously, qualitatively above his own ego. Maybe it's possible to give a better example. Okay? Yes.
David from Jerusalem is asking, when do I use the fuel from the society and when don't I?
This is something that you have to try and know. You have to try and know this. It's very important. We have no importance in understanding Tess, Zohar, all these things. Our work is psychological work inside the group. Really. Psychological, don't go study psychology, but that's how it is inside the group. We need to understand that all the discernments are, and as disgusting and non-serious it is and so on, but all the spiritual discernments are between us. If I disconnect myself from the attitude between us, then I'm no longer on the spiritual realm.
Yes. Joseph from the Jerusalem group is asking, what is the most prominent thing that happens to a person before revelation?
Darkness. That he is needy of new fuel, new stimulations. The old ones, that's it, he already wore them out. Now, he sees spirituality in reflected light of the upper, and the Ahab of the upper that shows it to him is as if in the hands of the upper. And then he has to grow the same to that level and receive it himself to become like the higher and achieve it himself in that way every time. In Gadlut and in Katnut, and Katnut and Gadlut, smallness and greatness.
Ken.
Yes.
Yesterday in the lesson, this need, this lack awakened in a friend, a very strong one, and then I got a telephone from a friend who was here for less, who's been here for years, and he brought me to the group, and then suddenly he detached from the group, and great friends went to his house, and suddenly he calls me, and he's completely burning, and suddenly he's interested in all this. So what? How does that suddenly happen, where a person suddenly detaches, and then and in this very emotional way?
Can you run from the correction of the soul? Can anyone run from it? But anyone who was here and left will come back. Was someone kept here forcefully, even for a second? No. Thanks. Bye. I can say to any, it's unbelievable how I'm not regretful of this at all, because that's his fate. And so you see, Amikum, he went away and came back. Why did you come back? Okay.
In the workshop on Shabbat or Friday, I can't remember, but you said that at the end we lie to each other. What does it mean that we lie to each other? We truly try to enter ourselves into a certain state.
What's the question?
The question is, can we create such states? Yesterday it happened naturally.
What states?
States where suddenly there will be this big desire that will awaken us.
We have to advance according to laws which we see in nature that Kabbalists explain to us about, and these are the laws of nature. Nothing's artificial. They're explaining man's psychology and a person's psychology, and how do we have to use it correctly in order to advance toward a higher towards, in a sense, towards our higher psychology, meaning a deeper connection. to get into the world that's beyond the quants, beyond the atoms, beyond matter altogether, inside. Into an area where the force which sustains reality is, and is all according to laws. There's nothing here that doesn't come in, that doesn't come from laws. We have to advance, and as a result of our advancement around us, there will be a stronger field. Their charge, the point in the heart, the spiritual potential is weak, and they were here and ran away, and they're still waiting someplace not far. Still, the field that we create does not yet pull them. Our field is small, and they're small in charge. And then, when our field will grow, we'll capture them in the force of the field and pull them here. And suddenly you see the door opens up and they're coming. That's how it is. It'll happen. But it depends on our advancement. We don't have to make any actions toward them. Truly, we have to do what we have to do. And therefore, our work, especially the inner spiritual work, is that we have to disperse the materials all over the world, but that's during the work and the free time that each one has and the factories working on it. That's externally. But again, 90% of our work is our inner work. All the forces, all the attention to the inner advancement. And also, when you talk about the external advancement outside of the framework of the world, you also do that in order to be integrated from the broader environment. Time's up. That's it? Yes, let me come. Quickly.
Let's say that this friend, that before he recommends me this business of $1 billion per year, and can I say that the path to connect to him is Havaya?
No.
So what is Havaya?
Havaya is when you undergo different phases of development where you're taking actions above reason to your extent, that you're ready to serve him and to nullify yourself before him because he's your friend. He asked you to help, but you all the time has to raise his greatness as a friend. Otherwise, you'll help him half a day, then you'll say, nah, today I can't help, and I have something else that I have to do, and so on. But every time you have to work on it, and suddenly $1 billion pops up, and you have to work against that $1 billion. That's called the revelation of the Creator. That's how it will reveal. You'll have to hide him. You'll have to work with the Masach. Between him and your ego, your will to receive, you'll have to place screens. Let's move on to the Zohar. Maybe it'll help.
We're going to the next part of the lesson.